Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. You can earn 4 times points on your top 2 eligible spending categories every month, like transit, U.S. restaurants, and gas stations. That's the powerful backing of American Express. 4 times points on up to $150,000 in purchases per year. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
Electricity, a big idea that's inspired countless new ones. From powering the light bulb to virtually powering our entire lives. 30 years ago, State Street launched the Spider S&P 500 ETF, SPY. A big idea that inspired the world to invest differently. And still does. What can you do with SPY?
Before investing, consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Visit SSGA.com for a prospectus containing this and other information. Read it carefully before investing. SPY is subject to risks similar to those of stocks. All ETFs are subject to risk, including possible loss of principal. Alps Distributors, Inc. Distributor.
My mission is simple, to make you money. I'm here to level the playing field for all investors. There's always a bull market somewhere, and I promise to help you find it. Mad Money starts now.
Hey, I'm Kramer. Welcome to Mad Money. Welcome to Kramerica. I'd be one of my friends just trying to make you some money. My job's not just to entertain, but to educate and teach. So call me at 1-800-743-CNBC or tweet me at Jim Cramer. Is this market really as simple as it looks? COVID cases up? Well, then buy the Cramer COVID-19 index. The stocks that do better when the pandemic's raging. Works like a charm. Can this market really be that binary? Can it really be that stupid? To borrow a line from that masterpiece of English literature, this is Spinal Tap. It's a fine line between clever and stupid. After a wobbly day where the Dow only gained 300 points, S&P advanced 1.1%, NASDAQ climbed 1.09%, the short answer is yes, it really is that simple. When the state of Texas was forced to pause its reopening plan because of record COVID infections, a major headline was seemingly nothing but negative connotations for the U.S. economy. Suddenly, the stay-at-home stocks came back in style and took up the whole market. I guess the virus didn't get the memo about not messing with Texas. Many of today's winners were the usual suspects that benefit from the pandemic. But we also had some new companies that joined the move, the oils, because of meager bounce in the price of crude, and the banks, though that, of course, was ephemeral, given the fact that everything was bad after the close about them. Stay away from the banks. Okay. Anyway, before we get into the specifics, how the heck can this market rally on truly terrible news? We have a horrific outbreak in the Sun Belt. Nationwide, we hit a new record for COVID cases yesterday. The virus is back in exponential growth mode. The human costs could be enormous. There's also a financial cost, obviously not the same as loss of life. But we know the stock market's focused on money. From the financial perspective, if a big state like Texas can't fully reopen, doesn't that mean the market needs to roll back some of those recent gains? When the outbreak's sweeping across the South and Southwest, don't we need to get more negative? I mean, Disney just announced that they're delaying the reopening of Disneyland because they're still waiting on the state of California to give them some health guidelines. Isn't that horrible, especially because it's a big capitalization Dow stock? So then why the heck did the market rally today? Shouldn't the averages be rolling over? Not so fast. This is what I've been trying to explain to you for months. The truth is, we've been through this before, and we know that lots of stocks benefit from the reemergence of the stay-at-home economy. There are 100 companies in the Cramer COVID-19 index. I used to call it the Cramer 100, but then you'd say, well, how many stocks are in the Cramer 100? Well, there's 100. Anyway, collectively, the stocks are worth now $12.2 trillion. Oh, that's up from a cool $11 trillion when we put this list together back in April. The entire S&P 500 is only $25.2 trillion. The index is stealing money from all the other stocks of all the economic victims. Will you look at this? This is the Cramer COVID stock index. And this is the stock market. You want to own this? This is what they all tell you, right? The people can come on TV, say, you got to own this. Hey, I don't know. This one's doing better. You throw in today's bank rally, fueled by the regulators taking a lighter hand, which will go back tomorrow, along with the positive action in oil, which will probably go back tomorrow. And that's well over half the market. Mostly, though, it's the COVID stock. So let's go over why they work on days like today so you understand and stop wanting to buy penny stocks where you lose all $1,200 that you got from the government. All right, if I signed it, would you do that? If I had been the signator? First, there's a whole host of companies that directly make more money during a major outbreak. Today we heard from Kramer Fabe McCormick, the maker of spices, along with my favorite Frank's. You can put that really on anything, by the way. And French's. And I got a great deal once at French's when I went to a Louisiana Walmart. And the results were extraordinary. These guys earned $1.47 per share. Wall Street was only looking for $1.13. Simple story. When you cook at home, you need spices and seasonings. I cook at home every night. I blanket everything with this stuff because I hate how bad I cook. And social distancing means a lot of us are cooking at home. I hate it, but I let the dishes pile up until the end of the week. No one's yelling at me. It's great. It's not just stockpiling, which they saw at the beginning of the quarter. McCormick points out that they, and I quote, saw strong, real incremental consumption as the quarter progressed, meaning there's a wholesale change in behavior here, not just a one-off bump. The consumer numbers were so fabulous that they easily offset the loss of McCormick's restaurant supply business. While management clearly didn't want to brag about benefiting from the pandemic, I don't mind saying it, McCormick's a winner in a world where COVID's running rampant. Same goes for Clorox. This is it, man. Don't even try to pry this away from my cold, dead hands. That's usually said about guns. You cannot beat bleach when it comes to killing this virus. Anytime we get bad COVID numbers, Clorox is stock. Look, you see, I've got it. So if anyone tries to take mine, it's the mad money. I know if you take it, I see it, okay? The failed reopening in Texas means still one more day when you're going to have trouble finding this. I check for Clorox disinfecting wipes every day on Amazon. Every day I check. And you know exactly what it says because you check too. Currently unavailable. We don't know when or if this item will be back in stock. Who's ever seen that? Amazon has everything. They'll be even harder to find with big outbreaks in Texas, Florida, Arizona, California. Plus, the safe place to entertain right now is outside. And what does that mean? It means cookouts. What do cookouts mean? It means Kingsford's. What else? The e-commerce stocks roar because the internet is the only place to buy stuff during lockdown. So people shop at Etsy. They're small business owners. They go to Wix.com and Twilio and Shopify. And now Facebook with its terrific shops initiative. But because of the politics, they just lost Verizon. Come on, guys. Then there's the next component of the COVID index, the work from home stocks. That includes all sorts of cybersecurity plays. I mean, I don't want to bore you, but I'll bore you. CrowdStrike, Zscaler, those are good. Hey. Zoom, Shopper, sure, it's a shock. RingCentral, how can I help you? And the cloud kings like Salesforce.com and, yes, Splunk. NVIDIA's chips power the data centers that make the cloud possible. How much I love NVIDIA. And last night he was just coughing his darn fool head off. Fourth, the mega cap tech stocks. It took them a while to get rolling today, but well, Amazon, Apple, Microsoft, Alphabet, they all work here. And analysts at Wedbush just gave Apple a $2 trillion market cap target. I say, how about $3 trillion? How about $4 trillion? Maybe $5 trillion? I mean, come on, guys. Try to temper a little bit. Facebook's now an e-commerce facilitator for small business. Google ads seem to be troughing. Microsoft's got a huge cloud business. Amazon. So even with all these COVID winners, how the heck can the market rally when so much of the economy is threatened by this new outbreak? Well, aren't we a service-based economy? And all these services connected with travel and leisure and entertainment, diamond and aerospace, aren't they in big trouble? Honestly, in a normal environment, one where we just let the economy happen, so to speak, the stock market would have collapsed today. But the Federal Reserve is determined to keep the bankruptcies as low as possible. Think of it like this. If a company that was doing fine before the pandemic is now in trouble, expect them to be bailed out. That won't save businesses that were already circling the drain. But large companies that are only struggling because of the virus, they'll probably be okay. The airlines were crushing it before COVID hit. The Fed and Treasury have made sure they'll survive. Although I would not own their common stocks, people. I know you're having a great time with them, but I like Southwest. If we start seeing hotels come close to insolvency, the good ones will be bailed out, either by our elected officials or by the Fed. Meanwhile, we've got another full month of expanded unemployment insurance. If you lose your job, the government's giving you an extra $600 a week. That's huge. It's why the poverty rate actually has gone down since the recession started. Greatest recession of our lives, and the poverty rate's going down. If Congress is smart, they'll extend those benefits now that we're seeing record numbers of COVID infections again. I know the Republican leadership has resisted another stimulus package, but if they want the Republican president to get reelected, what I would do if I were them is extend those benefits through November 2nd. Am I saying the whole thing's rigged? No. But the COVID winners represent a huge chunk of the stock market. They're nearly half the size of the S&P 500. And the COVID losers got bailed out of the last time we had a big outbreak. Throw in some good news about the oils, and that was enough to give us in the right direction. Let me give you the bottom line here, okay? I'm not necessarily saying that bad news is good news, nor am I saying don't take something off the table. You know I feel about taking a profit. But if Texas had done a better job of managing its reopening, maybe the market would have actually gone down today. led by the Cramer COVID-19 Index, all 100 of them. That would have been a don't mess with Texas move. Instead, we got a don't mask with Texas rotation into the COVID winners. And Wall Street's confident that most of the losers are going to be bailed out anyway. Zach in Texas. Zach!
Booyah from Dallas, Texas, Jim.
Well, yeah. I never thought I'd say this, but I actually hope we play the Cowboys this year.
I hope so, too. I say it emphatically when I say that we appreciate all you do for us small investors.
Thank you, man.
I have a small question. I want your opinion on a speculative stock that was a spinoff from a special acquisition company, something you talked about in details yesterday. The stock I'm inquiring about is Virgin Galactic, symbol SPCE.
You know, this is it's one of the most speculative stocks in the world. It is, but I will say this. There are people, if I were very young and I wanted to buy like 10 shares of something totally crazy, I might go for this thing, but it's not for real. Let's go to Elliot in New York, please. Elliot.
Jimmy, how are you?
Jimmy's doing well. I'm Jimmy, king of chill tonight, man. King of the chill.
I just wanted to give a quick shout out to G&E, and then I want to thank you for your advice to play a little defense, take some profit, strong tape like today's.
Never going to hurt you.
So anyway, wanted to chat about a company that completed a $1.2 billion PIPE transaction in May, has about $4 billion in cash and two Big Brother hedge fund backers. Only 7% of its revenues from air travel, with 70% coming from lodging. Per Foursquare location-based recovery data, hotel visits are up 4.6% week over week and only down 7.3% compared to February. The company is also paying particular attention particular focus to its VRBO business, which enables consumers to rent homes directly, permitting them to get to their staycation destinations without flying or floating.
All right.
Think about it as a comp to Airbnb. In addition, the company is ramping up their other offerings via their local things to do section, enabling consumers to book safe walking tours and friendly bike excursions. Jim, the stock took a big hit per the TripAdvisor 8K, which pointed to trips to future revenues. This is not TripAdvisor, who relies on paid clicks and ad revenue. We know that business model is a bit weak at the moment per comments made by Google and Facebook. I mean, look at what Verizon.
Okay, what would that be? What stock are we really talking about?
Jimmy Trill, is really thinking about playing Expedia.
Oh, no, I don't like it. Let's go to Mark in North Carolina. Mark. I think I surprised Mark and Elliot. There goes Mark. How you doing? What's up?
Hey, Jim. How you doing?
Couldn't be better.
Good. Hey, Procter & Gamble is a big holding of mine, but it hasn't really moved up much in the past 3 months when other consumer goods stocks like Clorox have. I would think a brand portfolio that includes Mr. Clean, Bounty, Charmin, Tide, and Safeguard soaps would be tailor-made to grow through this pandemic. What exactly is holding this stock back?
Well, I think that let me tell you what I think is. This is a great question, by the way. It's what people would say is fully valued. It's at 24 times earnings. But you know what, Mark? I'm with you. I think you buy it. You got a 2.68% yield. You got a great balance sheet. You got great management. You just buy it and don't look at it because management's really good. They got great products. And it's not a penny stock. I know a lot of people like those penny stocks. Those, by the way, you know, a stock is a penny stock, not because management wants it to be. It's because it stinks. I like Procter & Gamble. All right. And I didn't mean to be mean to Elliot. It's just that the ratio of Elliot versus me was odd there. Expedia is, I think, not great. All right. Sometimes it's as simple as it looks. And Wall Street is confident most losers will be bailed out. And they like the COVID winners like this one. All right. On Mad Money Tonight, to quote the great John Denver, country roads, take me home. Siri, play. Thank God I'm a country boy. As more people hit the road this summer, could Winnebago be worth the ride? I'm talking with the CEO after earnings. Then, as people look for ways to get out of the house but still stay isolated from others, could a company... Anyway, I'm talking... I'm talking with the CEO about rising boat demand. And need you, thank God, I am really not a country boy. And help you reopen your business after COVID-19. There's an app for that. I'm talking to Salesforce CEO Marc Benioff to find out how the company's products are helping businesses manage the new normal. So stay with Cramer.
Don't miss a second of Mad Money. Follow at Jim Cramer on Twitter. Have a question? Tweet Cramer. Hashtag Mad Tweets. Send Jim an email to madmoney@cnbc.com or give us a call at 1-800-743-CNBC. Miss something? Head to madmoney.cnbc.com.
Fact. Running a business is not getting easier on your wallet. With higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. Also a fact, smart businesses are reducing costs and headaches by graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, and HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, accessed from anywhere. You can cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. You improve efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. See how you'll profit with NetSuite, and then you can think of all the ways you could be spending the money you save. Company retreat in Malibu, anyone? By popular demand, NetSuite is offering a one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to NetSuite.com to start saving.
When you're hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging to connect with candidates faster. Plus, 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Mad Money. Just go to Indeed.com/Mad Money right now and support this show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/Mad Money. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Americans going stir crazy. This country desperately needs a vacation, but we're still in the middle of a pandemic that once again is spreading like wildfire. So how do you take a vacation in the age of social distancing? Well, you could always buy an RV and hit the road, maybe go camping. That's why I recommended a bunch of plays in the great outdoors at the beginning of the month, including Winnebago Industries, the maker of RVs, motorhomes, and some powerboats. Since then, the stock's up a quick 17%. But there was something alarming that happened yesterday. It makes me wonder if the RV's rally may be running out of steam. See, Winnebago reported a fantastic quarter, big top and bottom line beat. And while management didn't provide explicit guidance for the next quarter, they told a very upbeat story on the conference call. Yet the stock got hammered, fell roughly 7%, much worse than the decline in the broader market. Of course, the stock's had a big run off the March lows. Going into the quarter, it was trading at an all-time high. And maybe it was just simply priced for perfection. A little profit-taking never hurt anybody. We got to find out, though, why it was hammered. We need to take a closer look. So let's dig deep with Michael Happy. He's the president and CEO of Winnebago Industries. Get a better sense of the quarter and where his company's headed. Mr. Happy, welcome back to Mad Money.
Yeah, good to see you, Jim. Thanks for having us on.
All right, so here's my thinking, sir. Your stock had just run way up, but you did not want to necessarily say, you know what, and I think next quarter's going to be fantastic, because we don't know. It's a pandemic. But in all the years I've followed Winnebago, the last part of this quarter was the best that I can ever recall.
Yeah, it was certainly a challenging quarter, but one with some optimism at the end of it that we see in our future. It was a quarter that included a wind down of our business, a shutdown of our business, and a restart. But we started to see some very positive signs in May. As consumers started to escape their homes during the shutdown period, and we see much brighter days ahead for our industry and our company.
Your conference call had something amazing on it that I'm starting to believe. I keep hearing this. It's got to be feeling about, maybe it's about school, but you said the timing of the experiential season is going to be extended this year. Is this the belief that maybe school doesn't start on time and we need to be thinking that September could be a month that we're kind of doing something cool?
Well, I think what we're really seeing is there's this pent up demand, obviously, to escape the homes and get outdoors and find a sense of normalcy again with our select family and friends in a safe manner. And so, you know, we believe that, you know, the summer season is setting up to be very strong for many of the outdoor businesses, including recreational vehicles, and that people will have an appetite to extend that into the early fall as, again, they continue to manage very carefully who they're around and how they safely, you know, go through their lives. So again, we're looking for a good long season of being outdoors this summer.
Michael, you also talked about how there's a correlation you've seen with a healthy stock market. And bizarrely, we have one, correct?
Yeah, the stock market has been relatively stable as of late. There's certainly volatility inherent to it as well. But the recovery of the stock market is especially helpful for those affluent customers with decent-sized retirement portfolios, investment portfolios. And given we have some great luxury brands in our portfolio, like Newmar, like Chris-Craft Boats, we see the wealth effect and the stability of the stock market actually having a calming effect on those types of consumers, and they then make the decision to invest in this discretionary toy, you know, that we can sell them.
Well, I am a boater. Let's talk about Chris-Craft for a second. I remember when you bought it, and I think at the time I thought you were going to extend the line. We see a lot of Chris-Craft vehicles on the road. It looks like that this is Chris-Craft's time. What do you really want to do with it? Is it good to have that and also be in the motor RV business?
Well, I think there's a number of dimensions to that investment that we made in June of 2018. First of all, we're trying to build a premium portfolio of outdoor brands, and there's really no better brand than Chris-Craft in that essence, 140-year-old global luxury boat brand. We see some secular, emotional, and even value chain similarities between the marine business and the RV business. And we see we're very positive in terms of the growth prospects for the marine industry. And Chris-Craft for us was a low risk, we think ultimately long-term high reward entrance into the marine industry to learn more about it and begin to develop, another premium brand in our portfolio. And that's one of the ways, Jim, that we differentiate ourselves from our competitors is we have discerning aspirational brands in our portfolio that people, they desire to own someday.
Well, I think it's an interesting brand because, I'm a fisherman, but in many ways, if I were a speed boater if I were a millennial, I think I prefer a Chris-Craft maybe to my Boston Whaler. I mean, what kind of audience is buying that what I regard as being an expensive plaything?
Well, these are people that are both participating potentially in fresh waters, but also saltwater areas. And really with a Chris-Craft, you can view it as more of a leisurely, cruising boat, or you can fish out of these boats as well. And so we've got the capability with our line to do both. But these are really, folks who enjoy the finer elements of boating. They want to get out in a very beautiful, hand craftsman made boat and have a great afternoon or evening with their family and friends. And so the lineup is continuing to develop, and we're excited about that being a small but we think increasingly important part of our story overall here at Winnebago Industries.
Well, it's got two themes that I like. It's got freedom and you have control. And I find that your product lineup throughout this has freedom and control versus what I feel like now if I fly to a city and I stay at a hotel. I feel like I have no freedom and no control. Is that the zeitgeist right now that could be driving a lot of sales?
Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, we've seen a dramatic increase in interest in the RV and boating lifestyle. And we think there are a number of reasons. First of all, we think that most people believe genuinely that the outdoors is a safer place to be. Secondly, there's been a lot of time freed up for us. Our evenings and weekends tend to be a little bit more open with some of the commitments that we used to have not being available to us. There are not as many options for people to spend their discretionary income or savings. You know, theme parks are closed. Movie theaters are just coming back. Restaurants are just coming back. You can't go to Major League Baseball quite yet. So people have some dollars that they're choosing to invest. And I really think, Jim, there is a human psyche to people wanting to reconnect again with family and friends that they feel safe being around. They want to get outside their homes. And that's why we believe, you know, recreational vehicles, as an example, are coming back extremely strong, that people view it as a safe way to get outdoors and feel normal again and explore the great country that we have here in the U.S.
Now, I know you couldn't pin down exactly how many first-time buyers there are, but I would wager that there are people who never in a million years dreamed they'd have a Winnebago who feel like it's the only way now to be able to travel.
Well, we're certainly seeing an influx of first-time buyers. Much of this is still a little bit anecdotal, but our dealers are telling us that the wave of first-time buyers that they're seeing this summer is greater than at any time that they can ever recall in their history. And so we usually tend to see about a third of our buyers being first-time buyers, and we think that's increasing to as much as half, and maybe wow. Even in some other categories, it's greater than 50%. And so consumers are also, Jim, participating in the sharing economy around RVs, and they're also renting at the highest levels that we've seen in some time. So there's just great interest in not just owning an RV, but potentially experimenting with the lifestyle so that they can potentially determine down the road whether it fits them.
What an extraordinary change. Extraordinary, and I think positive one. I want to thank Michael Happy, President and CEO of Winnebago Industries. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you, Jim.
Lasting. People, it's about sustainability and lasting. Mad Money's back into the break.
Here's a question. Have you ever been prescribed a medication? Most likely, yes. Well, what about this question? Did you understand how it worked? The way your medication works in your body shouldn't be a mystery. Learn how VYVGART, efgartigimod alpha fcab works by visiting VYVGART.com/MOA. That's VYVGART.com/MOA. Brought to you by Argenix.
You seek the key, but first, you must learn the ways of precision, craft, and performance with Acura's all-electric ZDX. With a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system, up to a 313-mile range, and a Type S variant with an estimated 500 horsepower, the ZDX is their most powerful SUV yet. Unlock the energy when you visit Acura.com to order yours today.
This market loves any kind of recreation that also allows you to maintain social distancing. Hank Brunswick Corporation, the big kahuna in the boating space, you might recognize them as Boston Whaler, which I have one, Bayliner, or as the maker of the incredibly popular Mercury engines. Until we get a COVID vaccine, anything that lets you take a vacation while avoiding crowds of people makes a ton of sense. And that's why Brunswick's on fire, with the stock surging from 25 at its March lows back up to nearly 64 as of today. It's only down a few bucks from where it was trading before the pandemic hit. The last time the company reported, they told an encouraging story. Best of all, the stock remains incredibly cheap at 15 times 6 years earnings estimates. I wouldn't be surprised if those numbers are too low, but do not take it from me. Let's check in with David Foulkes. He's the CEO of Brunswick Corporation. Find out how his company's managing to thrive in the new normal. Mr. Foulkes, welcome to Mad Money.
Thank you, Jim. Great to be on.
David, I got to tell you, you gave a talk 2 days ago at J.P. Morgan, and you used the following phrase. I very rarely hear this. You said, in the second half of April, I quote, you had a very sharp V, almost a light switch that went on for sales. Tell me about it.
Well, we did, Jim. You know, April was a month of two halves for us. The first half obviously affected by the initial pandemic impact. And we'd taken our production facilities down, maintained distribution. We expected to come back up with all the COVID protocols pretty gradually from the middle of April. But in fact, demand really took off. And we have been bringing back our facilities very quickly, ramping up and even adding hundreds of people to try and satisfy demand. That demand has even increased through May and now into June. So it seems to be very sustained.
All right, well, let's call it as you see it. I'm told you can't get one. I have a friend who bought a Whaler for $40,000 and leased it for $30,000 for the next 2 months. I mean, now that tells me shortage.
Well, you know, across all of our portfolio, we're in relatively good shape. Our engines, we have plenty of stock. That's more of a build-to-stock model. Our P&A is in good shape. But I would say certainly some of our boat brands are in very, very high demand right now. And Whaler is certainly one of them. that we want to get a whaler in as many hands as we possibly can. So we're hiring hundreds of people right now. But I would say it's fair to say that the pipelines in the field are very, very low. We're working as hard as we possibly can to restock those pipelines.
Now, you used to have 29 plants. You've managed to consolidate to about 9. I mean, do you have enough? I mean, to me, it sounds like you literally must be working 24/7.
We are certainly working extra shifts at the moment. You know, taking out that cost is overall very healthy for our business, though. It's very streamlined. I think we've been able to manage our way through this pandemic on our own terms, largely because of the cost takeout and streamlining of the business we did. So I'm very happy with that. We certainly have capacity in most of our plants, but we have been taken a bit by surprise by a rapid pickup in demand, which seems to be, you know, some deferred purchases, but also just new boaters. So we're working very hard. It's not really a space issue. It's more hiring people that is the bottleneck, and we're going as fast as we can in doing that.
I'll talk about a space issue. We have an 18-footer, okay? Yeah. Last weekend, I wanted to dock it in a place where I sold these $500,000, million-dollar boats. But I was afraid I wouldn't have enough space, and I would hit one of these boats. You tell me you're going to give me assisted docking?
Well, I think you know, Jim, because you're in the boating space, that we've been adding technology like crazy to new boats. Most big boats now are controlled with a joystick, and we're bringing that technology down to smaller boats now. You have GPS station keeping. We have a system called Skyhook that allows you to hold the boat. We have autopilot, all those kind of features, and we're certainly looking to enhance that to add even more assistance to some of the more stressful aspects of boating, and certainly docking is in that category. So expect us to keep moving forward in the marine space, just as other spaces are doing, towards additional driver assistance and also eventually some form of autonomy.
And how about Freedom Boat Club? Can that be an answer for my friend who just paid $30,000 for a boat for 2 months?
It's a fantastic business. You know, we bought it just about a year ago. When we bought it, it had 170 locations. We just opened our 234th this week. It's a club model, so it's just like any other club. You pay a joining fee, and then you pay monthly dues. So you join in a particular location, and that gives you an access to a fleet of boats in that location. The boat's ready for you when you arrive. You book it on an app, and then when you're finished for the day, you give it back. You don't need to clean it. They do all that stuff. But because Freedom Boat Club is so big and really national, and even into Canada and Europe now, we have a reciprocal system. So if you join a club in a particular location and you travel to another location, for example, for a vacation, then you can automatically join that club. So it's a very, very flexible experience. And what we're finding is we're pulling in a lot more younger boaters and also a lot more women into boating through the club model.
Now, one thing that I was trying to figure out is that for the longest time, Brunswick felt like it had to do these other things, diversified in athletic equipment. And it made sense at the time because it looked like the shrinkage of boating, and you're shrunk with the aluminum boats. But it's almost like everyone's been caught by surprise. But, sir, I have to tell you, I think this is my first pandemic, so you got to give me a little leeway here. But I think people have rediscovered this, and there are first-timers who will never go back. I mean, if you have a whaler like I do, it's freedom. And I never in a million years also thought it was safety. But that's how I feel now.
I agree with you. And I think, you know, boating, amongst some other things, is combines the ability to socially distance with tons of fun and flexibility, the ability to go somewhere alone or go with a family or extended family or friends, depending on what, you know, the situation allows. And, you know, you can go out for an hour, you can go out for a day, you can go overnight. There's tremendous flexibility there. But you're absolutely right. The backbone of Boston Whaler is safety and fishability, if you like. Huge range of boats from, you know, 15, 16 feet up to our new 41-foot Conquest, but the same DNA in all of them. Great cruising, but really great fishing, great safety, great sea keeping. So, you know, it's very strong Boston Whaler DNA. You can always rely on them.
One last question. I know you do have some manufacturing in China. Can you get it out of there? Because then your costs would go down and you make even more money for everybody.
We do have a small amount of manufacturing in China, Jim, but I'll tell you, we are, most of our manufacturing is in the U.S. All of our large outboard engines are produced here. The vast majority of our boats are produced in the U.S. So we are a heavily domestic manufacturer and very proud to be that. We take advantage of a global supply chain, but we're, you know, really an American business, and we're 70% American sales. So very proud to be that and take advantage of providing great products to the American public.
All right. Well, David Folk, CEO of Brunswick, thank you so much for coming on to Mad Money.
Thank you very much, Jim.
Okay. Mad Money will be back after the break. When it comes to coping with this pandemic, few organizations have been more helpful than Salesforce, the king of cloud computing. Roughly 2 months ago, they announced a new suite of resources called Work.com, designed to help businesses and community leaders reopen safely. And they aren't slowing down. Earlier today, the company rolled out Salesforce Anywhere, a suite of services that makes it easier for businesses to have their employees work from home without sacrificing productivity and work safer if they're at work. At a moment we're facing a massive COVID outbreak across the Sun Belt, Florida, California, timing couldn't be better. So let's take a closer look with Marc Benioff, the bankable founder, chair, and CEO of Salesforce, to learn more about how they're helping other companies and the country and states get through this difficult period. Mr. Benioff, welcome back to Mad Money.
Hey, always great to be with you, Jim. Thank you so much for having me.
All right, so Mark had a strange experience yesterday. I had a governor of a state, Governor Raimondo from Rhode Island, and I asked her how she became the bastion in a very densely populated state of what I regard as a COVID-free zone. And she said, well, Marc Benioff really helped me, particularly with contact trace. Can you tell me how you worked that so that Rhode Island is a safer state than almost any other state in the union?
Well, Jim, this is a time where every company needs to reassess its relevance to maintain its market share and innovation. And right now for Salesforce, that's a major focus on Work.com, our new platform that allows companies to reopen safely. And one of the companies or organizations, or in this case, a state, Rhode Island, well, they're one of 35 states that is using our contact tracing technology to keep their citizens safe. We also have now so many companies doing exactly the same thing. This is a critical technology, Jim, during a pandemic, because as you can imagine, when people do get sick, you have to be able to talk to them and say, hey, who have you been with?
Right.
Who should we be calling? Who should we tell to self-quarantine? And that can be Governor Raimondo, the state of Rhode Island, like you heard last night. And it could also be the CEO of a major company like myself. I have 52,000 people. And as we start to bring our people back to work, which is happening now, if one does get sick, we're going to want to do that same contact tracing to help them. And that's a key part of the Work.com platform.
All right. So of the states that you are helping, the ones right now that are in trouble, maybe because they are the last few days, what are you saying to their governors?
Look, what I say to everyone is, this is my first pandemic. I don't completely know, you know, what advice I can give you, except number one, masks. I mean, we see the mask is probably the most effective way, Jim, to prevent the transmission of the virus. Just wearing a cloth mask reduces the spread by 90%. And the second thing we know is test and trace. You've got to test, and then once you do test, you've got to trace. And that, as I said, is true for states, like we've heard from all these incredible governors, but also corporations have got to do this as well.
So what would you tell Governor Abbott from Texas, a well-meaning fellow who's trying to get his state open in order to be able to put food on the table?
Well, I think Governor Abbott is you know, in the middle of his first pandemic, just like I'm in the middle of my first pandemic, we're doing the contact tracing for the state of Texas. We're helping him build out his network to help his contact tracers find people who have potentially been infected and get them to quarantine. That is an incredibly important part of what is happening. The second thing is we've got to have masks. People also need to realize that if you're outside, you've got a much less chance of actually contracting the virus. So if you look at countries like France, for example, restaurants are open, but most of them are operating with an outside venue. Air conditioning, for example, in France is turned off so that there isn't a spread happening inside the restaurant, and people are required to wear masks. We've got to do that same exact thing same thing here in the United States.
Well, you also have something that you did, that you unveiled with Siemens, which makes it so that I know I would be far less paranoid about being at work. You've got a, basically a touchless office. This is what we really want, Mark. I forgot my gloves the other day, and I took my jacket and wrapped it around the door handle and said, oh, my, this is just, I'm taking my life in my hands. We cannot have contact with door handles and well, elevator buttons.
Well, we've talked about that, Jim, now for quite some time, which is, yes, we have to have a contactless office. We have to rethink how we're using elevators. I mean, you can imagine I'm showing up at the office. I can't get in the elevator with 10 or 20 people. We have to be queued into the elevator. That's another key part of work.com. Shifts have to show up at the office at different times. That's another key part of work.com. One more thing that you have to have is then a completely contactless office, which is why the partnership with Siemens is so important for work.com, because it means that you're going to be able to show up in the office, and when you schedule conference rooms or walk through the office or need to turn lights on and off, Siemens is going to do that for you automatically. The other thing it's going to do is interface with the contact tracing technology so that you can say, hey, can you tell me who else was on floor 7 yesterday? That's where I was. And we could say, these are the people that we should now go out and talk to, that they should self-quarantine because you just got tested as a, you know, with a positive PCR test. We're going to need to let those people know they need to shelter in place as well.
And I want people to go to work.com because there's something that you have in each of the stages of the stabilize, reopen, and grow. It's how you serve society. How should we be serving society right now?
Well, Jim, you know, people say to me all the time, what does the future of work look like? And I'll say, well, it looks exactly like what's going on with right now. It's I'm at my home. You know, you're at your home. We're working and living anywhere. This is a work anywhere environment. It's why we introduced Salesforce Anywhere, a whole new set of technology that lets our customers sell and service and market and collaborate anywhere. We're partnering with Zoom, that you know very well,
right,
incredible conferencing technology, and Amazon with their Chime technology to deeply embed that into all of our products so that our customers can have deeply integrated collaboration. When I look at the combination of Salesforce Anywhere, the ability for our customers to achieve incredible productivity in their organization like we have now at Salesforce to rebuild their pipelines, to get their business moving, they need these types of tools. This is critical to achieve what we call customer 360 or develop a single source of truth. That is going to make a huge difference in getting companies back to work now.
Excellent, Mark. Thank you so much for coming on. And I think work.com is terrific. I also like, we didn't get to talk about having someone who's a chief medical officer who can help people when you have real questions.
Every company is going to need a chief medical officer. That's exactly what you should.
Absolutely. 100%. Mark Benioff, founder, chair, and CEO of Salesforce. And Mike's back after the break. It is time. It's time for the lightning round. And then the lightning round is over. Are you ready, Ski? Get to the lightning round. Let's start with Ryan in Oregon. Ryan.
Booyah, Dr. Chill.
Whoa, man. Doc Chill in the house.
Hey, I'm calling about one of the most popular stocks among the Robinhood investors.
Yes.
The company recently announced two different acquisitions, sending the stock to a five-year high. Is it time to take a serious look at Plug Power?
You know, I actually, you know, look, I did a 10-year chart of Plug Power the other day. This is the first time that I actually think, you know what? These acquisitions were good. I'm not trying to move Plug Power, but I am saying that there's more to it, and I got to come back and do a deeper dive. Let's go to Kevin in Texas. Kevin.
Booyah, Jim.
Booyah.
I got a question about Yeti. I wanted to see if I should still stay in it or get out of it.
Yes, you stay in it. Yeti is having an unbelievable summer. It's the summer of outdoors. You can't have outdoors without Yeti and vice versa. Let's go to Ann in Virginia. Ann.
Dearest Mr. Kramer, please don't be a shamer. I know you think Southwest is best, but American Airlines, yay or nay, what do
you gotta
say?
I got to give you a nay on that one. I mean, they're being kept alive. They did some 12% paper the other day. But I don't like that. I think when you have to borrow at 12%, that's a bad sign for any of us. Let's go to Syed in New Jersey. Syed.
Booyah, Jim. How are you?
Good day. How about you?
Good day. Myself and my family, big fan.
Thank you.
I have an 11-year-old son standing by me. He loves you. He watches the show every day. And you want to say something before I ask my question?
Jimmy Chill, booyah, Mr. Kramer. I'll see you tomorrow.
Whoa!
So what I want to talk to you about, GE. I own GE for a while. What should we do? Hold it?
Yeah, just hold it. Larry Culp is going to figure it out. I mean, but look at that. I mean, you got the Boeing going there. It's not so good in the airspace. But Larry Culp is going to figure it out. I just got to leave it like that. He's going to figure it out. And thank you for this, the 11-year-olds. They love the show. Let's go to Beth in Massachusetts. Beth!
Hi, Jim. Thank you for teaching me something new every day. It's keeping me great company while I cook dinner. I look forward to seeing you every night.
My question is, a
health and biotech company that's a top supplier of sustainable and natural ingredients, Amyris. They recently signed a multi-year agreement with AB Mauri, a global supplier of yeast and baking ingredients, who will exclusively use Amyris all-natural, zero-calorie, pure-cane sweetener. Do you see Amyris as a sustainable company to stick with?
You know, I looked at this when I was trying to figure out what it was like valued versus IFF. We got to do a deep dive on this one, too. This is a very, very interesting story, and I like it. And that, ladies and gentlemen, conclusion of the Lightning Round.
The Lightning Round is sponsored by TD Ameritrade.
What's the difference between Texas, a state where COVID-19 is running rampant, and Rhode Island, a state where they quickly got the pandemic under control, even as its neighbors were having huge outbreaks? Simple. Rhode Island had a plan. Texas had grit. And when it comes to public health, turns out a plan beats grit every time. Last night, we had the governor of Rhode Island, Gina Raimondo, on the show, and she's created a COVID safe haven, even as she runs the second most densely populated state in America. Doesn't matter that it's small. What matters is the density. How'd she do it? She came up with a plan that was tough as nails. Mandatory masks, social distancing, a robust contact tracing system that covers 95% of the state. Raimondo got there because she used public-private partnerships. She's a former venture capitalist with lots of business ties, and she rapidly put them to work, including with Salesforce.com. As for Texas, it seemed like Governor Greg Abbott just reopened the state, betting that the virus was already beaten or that Texas would somehow be tough enough to shrug it off. Hey, man, I'm all in for optimism. But there was a lot of wishful thinking in the Lone Star State, and the surge in COVID cases to a record high yesterday shows we haven't beaten anything. Honestly, Texas is lucky. When the pandemic hit the Northeast earlier this year, we knew next to nothing about it. We thought it was a lung disease. Turned out it's more of a circulatory disease. We were told that masks wouldn't make a difference. We didn't know which pre-existing conditions made you most at risk. We didn't know which drugs could help reduce the mortality rate. We didn't have a clear idea of how it spread or even how contagious it was. COVID-19 is a novel virus, and novel means we have no immunity and we know nothing. So when the outbreak in the Northeast started, we made a ton of mistakes. The worst was when the authorities told us not to bother with masks. That was a colossal blunder. Killed thousands of people. I don't know if they were trying to prevent a run on masks so that we'd have some left for doctors and nurses. Remember, N95 masks were in very short supply, or if it was pure stupidity. They're claiming it was the former. Either way, it turns out masks are the best way that we know at this point to stop the spread in lieu of a vaccine. The Chinese knew it. South Koreans knew it. Taiwanese especially knew it. And the governor of Rhode Island knew it. Though it took weeks for the rest of the country to follow suit. Somehow, though, Texas didn't get the memo. Masks are suggested, not required. Somehow this mask issue has become a weird culture war battle. I mean, it's crazy. It's nuts. If people don't wear masks and you don't have a robust system of contact tracing, then you're going to get a horrific outbreak like the one we're seeing in Texas, and you can't even find out who was there to be infected. What the heck were they expecting? Every public health expert told us this was inevitable. So now Texas has halted reopening, which was the last thing Governor Abbott wanted to do. But he doesn't really have a choice now that many of the state's hospitals are getting overcrowded. I think the lesson's clear. When you reopen your economy, you need to make masks mandatory. Otherwise, the virus comes right back. Now, obviously, there are parts of the country where you don't need a mask. And I hear you, people. If you live in a rural area in a state with no outbreak, you're probably not at risk. But for everyone else, especially in high-density states, we know masks about pretty much all we got. It's the cheapest, easiest, best way to stop the spread. When the CDC told us to forget about masks in March, that was a terrible decision. But now everyone knows better. And the fact that many of our leaders still refuse to push masks as a solution, the president won't even wear one, I'm finding it's inexcusable. We just went through this. The Northeast spent months getting the initial outbreak under control. So I'm begging you, please, don't repeat our mistakes. Wear the darn mask. Stick with Cramer and with CBC. Here's a peek at what Scott Wapner has on tonight.
Tonight at 7 p.m., Texas reverses course and hits the pause button on its reopening. So what now for the Lone Star State? Plus, Hawaii's lieutenant governor gives insight on the new requirement to get into his state. And on the hospital front line in a South Florida hotspot. All tonight at 7 p.m. with Scott Wapner.
You know, I don't like the bank stocks. After the bell, the Fed issued some statements about capping dividends. I think the Fed must be more worried about the banks and how they're doing than we are. One more reason to avoid those stocks, guys. I got a whole 100 stocks that you can buy that I like more than any bank, and it's the Cramer COVID-19 Index. They're all better. And by the way, the banks, they do worse. There's a ton of reasons not to own a bank. Hey, by the way, on the penny stocks, guys, cool it already. Well, I'd say there's always a bull market somewhere, and I promise I'll find it just for you right here on Mad Money. I'm Jim Cramer, and I will see you next time.
People today can spend half their lives over 50. So it's good to be financially ready for what's important to you as you get older, like a family vacation.
Cannonball!
Or starting your dream business.
Welcome to Connie's Coffee. How may I help you?
AARP's trusted financial tools can help you plan for whatever your future holds. That's why the younger you are, the more you need AARP. Start planning today at aarp.org/moneytools.